The scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 31 to 37. It can be found in your bulletins, or you can look it up in the Bibles. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way." This is the word of the Lord.
Yeah, so once again, good morning, First Lance, and I'm excited to be able to come and share. I don't get too many opportunities to be able to do this, so, you know, like, I look forward to the opportunity, especially when Josh says you could preach whatever you want, and I take that in stride. But, you know, to be honest, that sometimes gives me a little bit of anxiety, because it's like, you know, like, it's I could go anywhere, but I think because of the just the recent experiences that I've been able to go through, both in Guatemala and VBS, there's been a theme that God's been impressing upon me that's really been challenging me and transforming me as well. But I want to be able to get started through a word of prayer. So why don't we come together in that way and prepare our hearts? Heavenly Father God, Lord, we adore you. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, O Lord, may your name be praised. In our hearts, as we come together, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that has brought us together with many things to give you praise for. But we also recognize, O God, Lord, that sometimes we are so busy and we're so distracted by the things that are going around us. We lose sight of what you have been doing in our lives, even though we know you're doing amazing things. Lord, open our eyes and open our hearts to what you have been doing, so that we have even more to praise you for. Lord God, we come in confession, O Lord, and I come in confession because, Lord, I still continue to struggle, and even as I prepared for this, O Lord, you continue to show me the things that I need to give over to you. Dark places in my life, O God, that I still need to give and to lay at your feet, O God. And that is true, O Lord, for all of us. And Lord, can we come in confession and in surrender to you, O God. Lord, as you do so, as you come into our hearts, Lord, may you use me and may you fill our hearts full with your Holy Spirit, so that our hearts are ready to be able to receive. And so we come to your word. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as I said, I came back from Guatemala, and I learned some very, very important things this year, especially being on a team of seven ladies and just myself. And here is the important lesson that I learned. That you should not just use the lather from the shampoo to wash my face. Nor should you use hand lotion to moisturize the same face because it's too greasy. So that's what you can learn from girls. So my face is, I found out that my face is worth taking care of, kind of thing. Even at my age. I like to think that it's divine providence that I came back, as I said, with the Guatemala team from a project that is named Seguro Estoy, which means I am safe. And then we jumped right into VBS, which had this theme verse slide. It says, "The Lord comes to rescue each time," from Psalm 54, verse 19. Very powerful verse, a reminder of as we trust in him, he comes and rescues us. And on the last day, the lesson I was teaching myself personally spoke to me while in my ongoing struggles and weaknesses, where it says, and which we reviewed already, when you're powerless. Thank you, VBS. Volunteers. It is a reminder that, you know, like, there are things that we can do to respond to Jesus, but there are some times where we just are so powerless and so weak that he really does need, he's the one that forces and comes into our lives and reminds us that he is indeed present, and we want to be able to fix our eyes on him. So, Seguro Estoy, I am safe. Thanks to Jason for making that logo. So it's all over Zaragoza now, kind of thing. So, and in that, we declare to the truth of the children and families of Rincon Grande in a number of ways that it was true, that he indeed, oh God, that God indeed desires for them to be safe. I guess that's not running because it's probably too big, but that's okay. Move on to this. We help fund a project to purchase and install a set of security bars, and in Espanol, they're called balcones, which they're not balconies. We're not installing balconies, kind of thing, right? But we install them over the exterior windows of the school, and the rationale is this: is that as I explained to the kids of Rincon Grande themselves, because no kid should have to come to school in the morning only to find their classrooms vandalized, their learning resources destroyed. Imagine feeling violated in a place where they come to learn, have fun, and to be a kid. School shouldn't be a place for children to feel unsafe. We taught children and families about how they can promote in different areas of their lives, that truth, that they can be safe in their school, in their home, in healthy eating, in their emotions, in their body, and ultimately where they can find their lasting safety is in God himself. And so they made us hold up these cheesy plaques. They loved it, and we had to, like, you know, walk and parade them through the school and stuff like that. So they... Guatemalans love that kind of stuff. So, the fact, though, that we had to teach them those lessons, teach those lessons to those children, it means that it's not a guarantee for many of these children and many of these families. That safety is not guaranteed. It's not assumed in many of these areas. As Kim taught the girls, they asked the kids to decide what things in their lives were considered safe. But upon second thought, they had to really think. It's like, were these things guaranteed safe or not? For example, we think about money. They initially put that into the safe area. And, like, money is good. It's one path out of poverty. But then they realized at the same time, money is the very issue in Guatemala that causes a lot of that poverty. So they were flip-flopping. Strawberries, a staple, thing that they farm at, like a crop that they farm there, right? The interesting thing about strawberries is for many of these kids is, like, it's their livelihood for their parents, but it's also what takes their parents away from them because they have to work so hard. Oftentimes, they have to travel away from their homes to be able to farm, kind of thing. So same thing. There's some good value and aspects to it that provides safety, but at the same time, it provides danger as well. We think about hands, kind of thing. And so I put all different hands, like, you know, shapes and stuff like that, right? So to recognize that for them, right, a hand can be a good thing, like a helping hand, but also a curse, right? The hand can represent those things, that the hand can represent both help and violence. And these kids were able to realize that. Family as well. Generally, we think that family is a good thing. We want to keep families together. But then they realize also the source of sexual violence and abuse and you know, overlording over families is found there as well. And so the fact that these kids should have to reconsider their safety of family is them being revealed the truth, that family isn't always safe. As I said, often the place of greatest abuse. Maybe we should ask Kim to lead us in the same exercise so that we can take a moment to assess the value of the things that we find security in. Because really, it's no different for our families as well. Here's the thing about how poverty works and how it affects security. Because once you step into a culture of poverty, you cannot assume that there is basic personal or community safety. These children and these families that live in this village of Rincon Grande, many of them just can't afford the safety and peace of mind that we often take for granted. At the same time, in our own culture, we have this over-reliance on our own measures and untested guarantees, which can mislead us into a false sense of security. We need to feel safe, and we need to make sure our loved ones feel safe too. That's a really important value in our culture. However, the practices that we have to make our lives safe in is oftentimes limiting our freedom, the very freedom that we want to be able to protect. I remember when my family was renovating our house before moving in, we decided whether we wanted to put up security bars in our own windows. Oftentimes, when you look at many of the Vancouver special houses and the lower floor, often have these bars where they're on the inside or the outside of the windows. And because my mom was going to be living on the ground floor, and we were thinking, it's like we want to keep her safe, right? A few people in our church have had to deal with break-ins before, so we saw this quite regularly. But then I recalled a news story of a house in my neighborhood that caught on fire, and an elderly woman was caught inside the house. The fire exit was blocked. The bars that were meant to be able to keep thieves from coming in also prevented her from being able to escape out of that same window. Those same bars actually even prevented her own son from being able to get into the house to rescue her as well. It's a tragic example of our own methods of security can fail us. So for our family, we decided that our cowardly but loud pit bull would be deterrent enough for our family. So we decided not to be able to install those security bars. Many of us who were once children know this truth. When we were young, we feel invincible, right? My kids, they find the highest thing they can jump off of, and they jump off of it, right? So it was very common for them to be able to think that. Nothing can happen to us. But when we grow up, we experience realities that we are indeed out of control. The first time you get into that not-at-fault car accident. How many of you have been in a not-at-fault car accident? Not your fault? Someone ran into you? Yes. Right? And then you realize that you control one car out of how many cars that you drive by as you commute. When you make that realization of how little we have control over, that feeling of being invincible goes away pretty quickly. And what happens is that we go from feeling invincible to vulnerable. So these things that threaten our lives, they are indeed very mighty. They scare us. Whether we are aware of it or not, we often operate and make decisions based on that fear, based on that insecurity, that we cannot control what goes on in our lives, instead of the freedom that God desires to establish in us. And so it's the lack of control that tends to rule and govern what we do, rather than the freedom that God wants to be able to give us. But today we're reminded that the truth that God who we follow is even more mighty than these things that cause our insecurities. As we unpack today's scripture, we want to take a closer look at the heart of David And at the end, how we came to be able to express this need for a deep dependence on God and his protection. David is a man of many descriptions, a well-studied person in the scriptures. We know him as a shepherd boy, a giant killer, a king chosen by God, a fugitive on the run, a warrior for justice, a best friend, an army commander, a songwriter, worship leader. So you may think of David as this man who stood above others, a spiritual giant among men. After all, the scriptures often compared other kings to David. For example, as Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 11, David's son, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. Another king, Amaziah, king of Judah, was described as this in 2 Kings. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father David had done. So there's even a level of amazingness to David and how he lived for God. So in order to understand the rationale behind God choosing David as the next king, let's take a closer look at Israel's previous and first king, Saul. The people of Israel, God's chosen people, are, you know, people chock full of insecurities, which is great for, you know, for the sake of this sermon. And in their securities, they make their decisions. The people of Israel ask God for a king that would represent who they wanted to be, proud, strong. So God gave them what they asked for. He appointed a man named Saul to be their king. He was described as a head taller than the rest of the men around him. And so you think about it, the Israelites were given their own giant, their own Goliath, to be their king. However, in the same verse that it explains Saul being that head and taller than the rest of men, he was actually hiding and cowering behind other men, but the men that were looking for Saul easily found him because he was that much bigger than all the men. So he was big, but a big coward as well, kind of like my dog, right? So that's Saul. Israel's desire for a king actually signaled a shift in who they depended on. They, at first, had God as their, you know, they were a, you know, they were a God-run nation, and then ruled by, and then governed by judges, and then they switched over to this, you know, they wanted their king. They started relying on earthly insurances for their security and protection instead of God. But it didn't take long for them to find out that there were much bigger giants and much bigger threats before them. And as Israel anticipates their defeat against Goliath and the Philistines, God sets up what becomes a pattern for his relationship between him and his people. Israel's salvation would come through the weak who are made strong in God. And David was this example of God's way of rescue. A shepherd boy with nothing but a sling and a few rocks, but a full dependence on God, who shows the world that he is about the weak made strong. And so imagine the security that comes from a deep trust in the Lord that can say to our enemies that threaten our survival what God said to Goliath: "You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." We remember that David was far from perfect, though. And at times, he turned toward God in trust, but at other times, he turned away from God in rebellion. He tasted the joys of supernatural protection, but he also tasted the consequences of turning from God's ways. David is described as this, a man just like us, himself a weak, sinful, ordinary, but at times he trusted God so fully that his enemies feared him. And we want to be able to concentrate on that. That is the security that we need against our enemy that defies us and threatens our very survival. But who is that enemy? We think of our enemies, when we think of our enemies, our minds often go to think of people who may have discouraged us, hurt us, betrayed us, or perhaps we think a little bit bigger, or we think it's the wrongs in the society that are happening that cause hardships or poverty to happen to people. We often claim that to be our enemies. But those are actually just the results of the work of our real enemy. Our key enemy needs to be identified, and it's made clear in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, which says this: "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." So that it is this enemy that is the ruler of this world that we live in. And it is this enemy that continues to fight to subject you under his influence. The enemy that tempts you to think, act, and live according to selfish and evil desires. Understanding the reality of what we are up against, this very, very real enemy that is pursuing us, bent on confusing and deceiving and destroying what God is building in his people. In essence, we are more like David than we are unlike him in the trials that he faced and the things that were, you know, what was coming after him. Though we may be facing a different kind of opposition, a very real intensity of opposition is being directed our way by our enemy. And so David, in his song, gives his listeners the reminder that the way to rise above the opposition from the enemy is a deep trust in the Lord. But this is not just a blanket trust, like just saying, I just trust in God in general. There are some very, very specific vulnerabilities that we are called to trust in him with, vulnerabilities that we have. There are some, and he secures it by his strength, his refuge. And he also secures us by his equipping and transforming power that he gives us. And so let's recognize that this, in 2 Samuel 22, that this is end-of-life David, and he's looking back at the triumphs and the failures of his life, and he comes to speak and impart truth about God to his people and to us. And all the while he's doing this, he's also making some of these in-between-the-lines comments about his own condition. And so there's more to this passage, but I'll be highlighting three specific conditions that we struggle with and three corresponding truths that David declared about God and why we are are called to be able to trust that God gives to us a very specific protection for the spiritual security issues that we have. So what is God to us? He is our shield and our shelter. I love in David's, when David says this in 1 Samuel 22, what happens to David, and it perfectly describes kind of the first truth about God and his security. So this is David on the run, escaping from Saul in 1 Samuel 22, and it says this: David left Gath, he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about this, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. So it kind of happened all in this cave that they were, as they were, this shelter that they found as Saul was chasing after them, wishing to kill him. And so David sought shelter from his enemies in this cave. And many in fear and in distress sought that same shelter as David did for that time. And for that time, as they were in there, they were safe and at peace. And in that cave with David, they were no longer in fear, both because of the cave, but also because David was there with his men to protect them. And so this cave represents the sense of refuge that God provided for them. And so when we look at us, we think, what is the insecurity? Whatever insecurity that we have, our response to it is often to hide out of fear. God knows this. God knows that our behavior is to run and hide when we experience fear. So if we're going to hide in fear, then let us take refuge under his wings instead of our own broken shelters. In our own shelters, we will continue to fear, but in his refuge, we will begin to realize that he protects us, we begin to feel that we are no longer afraid. And so let us trust. When we do fear, let us run not away and cower and hide in corners, but to him and his refuge. Secondly, he gives you firm feet. God gives you firm feet and firm ground. If you've ever experienced any kind of leg instability like me, I tore my ACL twice, it's the same ACL, right? And you're always a little fearful when you walk, in case you step on something uneven and your knee gives out. And so, like, if you've experienced this before, and it's extra scary if you're carrying your infant son and you feel your knee kind of wobbling and stuff like that. It's like, I don't want to drop my kid kind of thing, right? So if you have experienced that before, like just the weak ankles and stuff, you'll get this, why this one matters so much. We fear making wrong decisions, not trusting ourselves. And so we're thinking instability in life, right? So it's not even, so oftentimes we're not even trusting the journey that we are on will lead us to where we want to go. Even if God is calling us to walk forward, we freeze because we can't stand the fact that we don't know where we are going or where we are being led, and we don't know what the future holds for us. Uncertainty may be your condition, but God wants you to know that he knows how to deal with uncertainty. When David is writing this this psalm, he writes about how God transforms his feet like the feet of a deer, with sturdy, balanced feet. And with those feet, that deer is able to reach the highest of heights in search of the food that he needs. Even at the end of the song, David actually returns to the image of feet, but he doesn't emphasize the feet this time. He actually emphasizes that he also prepares the ground. He prepares the ground beneath our feet as well. He flattens it. He makes it broad. He turns ground from treacherous and uneven to solid and safe. And so I think this is an amazing, important one for me, that like I know what in instability and uncertainty feels like. God gives a double assurance of security for your journey ahead. Not only does he address the uncertainty that is in us, he addresses the uncertainty that is around us too. He makes both of those things secure and sure, that we can trust in him with our uncertainties. Thirdly, he equips you with skill and strength. Verse 35 says, as he trains my hands for battle, my arms can bend a bow of bronze. So David, being a warrior and a leader of warriors, recognized the importance of training, skills, instincts, and training in the weapons of war. But he also realized very early on that his own skill and his own strength that won him key battles, it wasn't his own strength and skill that won him the key battles like the one with Goliath. God went into battle with David, equipping and strengthening, and what was really a continued sustaining in battle. Without God equipping, David knew that he would be no different than an average soldier. He knew the outcome outcome of those battles would be no different. And we look at all the scriptures of the wars and battles. When God was with them, there was victory. When God was when they did not rely on God, there was defeat. And so when we look at ourselves and our condition, knowing this, do you question whether you are good enough? Do you often say, I can't handle the pressure, or the stress is overwhelming me? Your condition may be weakness. But God knows what to do with your weakness. He does so with yet another double assurance. He sustains you by equipping you with gifts of the Spirit, and he strengthens you to wield those gifts with authority. So three conditions that we have. Three truths that God gives us to remind us that those conditions are well within his power to secure. Fear, uncertainty, weakness, with his refuge, his transforming of your feet, your path, and his equipping you with skill and strength. I want to lead you, my church family, together to realign ourselves through the truths that David wrote in today's passage. Let us believe that the very words of Scripture, the receiving of his words, and the declaring of it to be true in our lives can break the enemy's use of fear, uncertainty, and weakness. Do you desire that? Let's experience God's freedom together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we praise you, O Lord, that there have been many that have walked this path before and lived life like David had. And to realize that in the triumphs and the failures, you have shown yourself faithful. You have shown yourself as the one that we can rely on, that we can trust in you to keep us safe. We realize, oh God, Lord, that we have used our own strength, our own resources to keep ourselves safe, not you. And we ask, oh Lord, that we give over those things into your hands because we've relied on them too much. We want to recognize, oh Lord, that we ourselves indeed are in poverty. Maybe not the poverty of resources, but indeed the poverty of spirit. That we have so often been walking and living this life empty. And we declare today before you, we come before you empty, and we ask, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and dwell in us today. We ask, we plead with you today, have your way with us, Lord. And that we now, O Lord, will come before you with a condition that has been in our hearts that disables us, that holds us back, that freezes us. We come and lay that at your feet. And we ask, O Lord God, that you will come and have your way to transform us, to shelter us. And so as we go through these fear, as we think about the fear and the uncertainty and the weakness, perhaps one of those things is a thing that has that is that condition that has been defining your life recently. If that is one of those, if one of those conditions is you, I ask that you will respond. And so if you are a person that has recognized that the condition in you is fear, has fear made you run away? Have you been trying to hide, not willing to deal with the things in your life because you are afraid? If that is you today, respond to Jesus who is here before you right now. You can either stand, or you can receive with open hands right now. Maybe if you need to find a space here to kneel before him and surrender. I ask you to do that right now. Fear is what you're struggling with right now. Bring that fear before Jesus. let the Spirit find those deepest and darkest fears for you. Bring them to the light of Jesus Christ right now. And as they are before the light, declare to that fear God's words in 2 Samuel 22, verse 31, that God is my shield and I will take refuge in him. Not in my own shelter, but in him. And so, Lord, break that power that fear has over me. Call upon Jesus to do that right now. Lord, break the power that fear has over me in Jesus' name. Let's continue to receive his presence into you right now. For some of you, maybe that condition is uncertainty. Are you struggling because your future seems unclear? Are you frozen in your steps because you don't know what the outcome will be? If you're just unsure. If that is you, you at this moment respond to Jesus. Stand, receive with your open hands. Surrender before him. Declare to that uncertainty in your life God's protective words. God gives me firm feet. He transforms my feet to be strong. God also, Lord, he makes my ground solid. And so speak to God. Ask God, call upon God to break that power of uncertainty over you. Ask it in Jesus' name. And then lastly, maybe your condition is weakness. Have any of you been struggling with those feelings of weakness? You lack the strength to get through the week or even through the day. You struggle to serve God. Or you struggle to serve your loved ones. Maybe even you struggle to wake up in the morning to get to work or to school. If that is you, I ask that you respond to Jesus here. To receive his security with open hands. To surrender before him. Declare to that weakness God's words. God gives me skill and God gives me strength. Lord, deal with that weakness in me. Fill me with power. Equip me with the giftings of your Holy Spirit and do so in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, thank you so much, God, that you have broken chains today. That you have brought freedom where there was no freedom. That you, O God, have empowered your people. That they will walk out of here different. That they will walk out here with their poverty dealt with. We take comfort, O God, that now we are safer in you, and now that we are more free in you. And so, Lord God, you are great and mighty, mighty to save. May we worship you today. in freedom. Let's rise to praise him.
Be still. Be still and know that the Lord is in control. Be still, my soul. Stand and watch as giants fall.
Sing that again.
Be still. Be afraid.
Open your hands and receive what the Lord has to say to you today. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord God, as we end here in our time of celebration and of worship, let us go through the doors and into the world unafraid. Let us go back to our families and back into our workplaces in preparation for our times at school unafraid, for you are with us. Thank you, Lord. And so now, church, go out with that, his security, with his refuge, with his strengthening, with his guidance, with his power. Be unafraid. Amen.